review. On Wednesday night, we are extracting key lessons from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I think if you've been following us, it's been a great time as we've been extracting life under the sun, that is life on earth. You'll find that phrase all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. That means on earth. And he's talking about the ups and downs, the ins and out of life. And if you've been living it for any amount of time, you know that's sure enough the truth. It's ups and downs and ins and outs and, you know, zigzags. It's just all over the place. And the author of the book of Ecclesiastes is telling us that and wants us to have an understanding of how to meander through that and how to live a good life in the uncertainties of life. So tonight, we've been having this kind of rotating teacher team on Wednesday night. A couple of years ago, I went through the whole book myself, but since we're reviewing the key concepts, we've asked some folks to join us. So tonight, my baby boy, Jonathan, is going to come, and he's going to finish us up in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. So come on. Now, I'm going to be sitting on the front row. So if you mess up, I'm going to come get the mic. No, here you go.
I'm glad mommy sent me a text encouraging me in the Lord. How's everybody doing this evening? I want to jump right in to Ecclesiastes 3, starting at verse 10. And it's 10 through 22, so it's the rest of the chapter, but we don't have time to go through verse by verse, but you'll get the whole idea. Well, I think that it's something we can really learn. It's at the end, you'll find out that it's really simple, but I found out that it's really freeing. And so I hope that you get that tonight. All right, verse 10. Let me start there. I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about it. Verse 10 says, I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. Yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all of his labor. It is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it and nothing to take from it, for God has so worked that men should fear him. That which is has been already, and that which will be has already been, for God seeks what has passed by. Furthermore, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there is wickedness, and in the place of righteousness there is wickedness. I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man, for a time for every matter and for every deed is there. I said to myself, concerning the sons of men, God has surely tested them in order for them to see that they are but beasts. For the fate of the sons of man and the fate of beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. Indeed, they all have the same breath, and there is no advantage for man over beast, for all is vanity. All go to the same place, all come from the dust and return to the dust. Who knows that the breath of man ascends upward and the breath of beast descends downward to the earth? I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for this is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? Well, I'm depressed. I was reading this and just thinking to myself, man, it seems like Solomon is just rich and he has it all, and there's kind of nothing else for him to aspire to. And so he has time to think about the fact that even though I have it all, I still feel like there's a void and there's a lack of fulfillment, even with having everything that I have. I'm walking down hallways that are gold. I've got a gold toilet, heated toilet. Well, it wasn't heated, but he's got all of these things that we aspire to, a palace, all of those different things. And still, as he's writing and thinking about it, he's looking over the ledge of his palace and looking at his flock and thinking, I'm just like y'all. We have the same end. I'm not better than any of the things that I own. We breathe, we stop breathing. It's all just vanity. And to think that if someone reached that height, then what are we chasing for? What are we chasing after? It's almost as if we're in life chasing after things and ambitions, and nothing's wrong with that, but it's really just grabbing after the wind. It's something you can never really get a hold of. Because if Solomon has this problem, then no matter what you achieve, you will find that there is still something lacking. He starts out in verse 10 and he just says, I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. Seriously? I mean, you've given us these tasks for us to occupy ourselves? I kind of know what that means because I have kids. Y'all go over there and play, occupy yourselves. Because there's something that I'm trying to accomplish, or something that I'm withholding that you can't have. So you have to be content with where you are. My daughter, Kelsey, she's 9. She wants an iPhone. Boo, you ain't getting no iPhone. You're 9. So you take this, Daddy, I want an iPhone. She's yearning for this iPhone. No, you need to take this touchpad that has no cellular, barely works on Wi-Fi, and has parental controls all through it. You need to just be satisfied with that. I know your heart desires this phone, but you need to be satisfied right where you are with those limitations. And basically, God has set us in a position where we have limitations. We don't have the full experience of what he has in his hands. Yet, even though we don't have the full experience, he has set eternity in our hearts. Now, as I thought about that, I was like, man, that's kind of cruel. It's like me giving my daughter the touchpad, but showing her the iPhone. He has set this thing in our hearts to grasp at something, but never get the fulfillment of what we're grasping for. It's eternity, happiness, joy, rest, peace, paradise. You know, the things that you can't buy. Those are the things that we all want. I can't tell you how excited I get every year when I've been working hard and it comes to that one week that it's the vacation, because I know I'm about to get to rest. And then when I come back, I'm like, I need one more week. Because something that we desire is rest, paradise, peace. And I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, I don't go to the inner city of Detroit. There is something that we have set in our heart on what we perceive paradise to be. And so we chase after those things. I go to the Bahamas or Cabo or something like that. I need a beach. I need a good view. I need something that reminds me of paradise, that I'm away from the work and the labor and the toil. I need that. But really the reality is that all we're doing is really grabbing sand. You get it in your hand for a moment only to see it seep right through your fingers, to try to have to grasp again. That's why the chase for happiness gets us in trouble. Because we're chasing after something, and the reality is you're never going to get the full fulfillment of that. But the reason why we're chasing it is because God has set eternity in our hearts. Solomon is letting us know this thing just kind of goes around in circles. We're kind of occupying the time, even though there's something else that we're trying to grasp at. He's setting an expectation. Because if you don't have that expectation, you'll be finding yourself chasing after the wind. It's like the kid on the merry-go-round that's going round and round in circles only to get a little bit older to think to himself, this is dumb. Because I'm not going anywhere. And I think Solomon is starting to feel that in all his wealth and all his ambitions and all of the things that he's chased after and all of the things that he has, he's starting to see, I'm just kind of occupying time. I'm not going anywhere. If you were to ask me what I'm doing with my life, I would say I'm doing ministry. I'm the chaplain of the Cowboys. I'm trying to be a good husband to my wife, and I want to be a good father. If you were to ask me next week, what am I doing with my life? I'm going to say, I'm doing ministry. I'm chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm trying to be a good wife. I mean, good husband. To my wife, I want to be a good father to my children. I'm trying to support them. If you were to ask me a year from now, what am I doing? I'd say I'm doing ministry. I'm the chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm trying to be a good husband to my wife. I'm trying to be a good father to my children. And many a times when you're answering that question that somebody's asking of you, you find yourself repeating yourself. And you're going in circles, it seems like. And sometimes you feel that lack of fulfillment. And Solomon is saying, that's just what that is. The reason why you feel the lack of fulfillment is because God has set eternity in your heart. But you can't have that right now. It's not available right now. But I know it exists. You know why? Because every desire that I have, apart from sin, every desire that I have, it's available. I have a desire to eat. There's food. I have a desire for relationship. There's relationship. I have a duck. Has a desire for water. It's available. We have desires for things in the world. It's right there. I have a desire for the fulfillment of happiness and joy and peace and paradise and rest. And it's not available. But because I have that desire, I know it's available. It's just not available in this world. I have to wait until we get there. It's kind of an expectation that, you know, sometimes we get surprised when we're experiencing that lack of fulfillment. And Solomon is saying, don't be surprised. That's just the way it is, you know. And so when I was reading this, I was like, this is depressing, but it's kind of true. He set eternity in our hearts, but he's just given us time in which to occupy ourselves. And then here he says, in verse 12, he says, I know that there is nothing better than for them to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is a gift of God. That even though Solomon is setting up this expectation, that that's just the way it is. There is no true 100% fulfillment. You're not going to be totally happy. Things are not always going to be all good. There's going to be this sense sometimes of purposelessness or merry-go-round. I'm going around in circles. There's nothing new, nothing else to aspire to. I can't find the full peace that I'm looking for. He says, but there is a gift. That God has given us a gift, and it is to enjoy our labor. Which means that even though you're going in circles and even though sometimes you feel like you're just occupying space, that you have to try to see it in a way that unwraps the gift so that you can experience it. God can give a gift, but the gift has to be unwrapped. And many Christians are still miserable in their going around in circles, miserable at their job, miserable in their marriage, miserable in what Solomon is saying is just the way it is. Because even though we have the gift, we refuse to see it as one. Because he says right here, moreover, that every man eats and drinks and sees good in all his labor. In other words, you have to see it. You know, my kids all the time, I always talk to them about complaining because they only see the problem. And I'm trying to help them understand it's all in the way that you see it. It's all in the way that you view it. It's all in the way that you choose to look at it. Because there is a gift there. You can pay your bills. You're able to take care of your family. There are things that are happening where God is using it to sustain you, even though it's not exactly everything that you want it to be. God has given us the gift, and he says, the gift is, I want you to enjoy your labor. It doesn't take away the fact that it's labor. It just means that there's a gift within it. But gifts are given, and if they stay under the tree or nobody tears off the gift wrapping, then there is no experience of it. And we live in a day where Christians are wallowing in a lack of experience while talking about how good God is and simultaneously complaining about what he's not doing. And Solomon is saying, I'm just setting an expectation. This is what it is. Life is what it is. My dad just said it. You're experiencing it all the time. In different nuances in your life, we're experiencing life. And he's setting the expectations, but he's saying, I want you to look at it a little bit differently. Kelsey, I'm gonna need you to enjoy that touchpad that barely has Wi-Fi, has no cellular, and shuts off on you from time to time. But there are things in there that you can enjoy if you can find contentment with what I've given you. He's talking about contentment here. I know that I've set eternity in your heart, but it's not time for that. I need you to learn to see what you already have and enjoy what you already have while you wait for me to fill you more in other places. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, not those who don't. You got to wait. And here he's saying is there is this gift. Here is this gift, but you have to see it, enjoy it. I know that everything that verse 14 says, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it and nothing to take from it. It just is what it is. For God has so worked that men should fear him. He answers the question. Well, why in the world has he set it up like this? So that you can fear him? It's as simple as that. Where does fulfillment come from? God. He's the one who set eternity in your heart. And he's saying, I want you not to aspire to things, because all you're going to do is climb the ladder of success and get to the top and realize the whole time it was leaning on the wrong wall. It's not about you just climbing the ladder of success. It's not about you chasing after what you will find out is simply the wind or just sand that you're grasping in your hands, watching fall right through your fingers. It's about seeking me. It's about finding me. Because when you find me, you find purpose. When you find me, you find fulfillment. When you find me, you find calling. You can complain about what you have, or you can just come find me. When you find me, it's amazing how you see what you have differently. He's saying, I have set it up this way so that you will find me. Reason why is because I have outcomes for your life. Deuteronomy 6 says this. If you listen to me and obey me and find me, submit your life to me. This is what it says. I like this. He says, your days will be prolonged. You'll get to live. It will go well with you. I'll take care of your future. Don't worry about that. And you will multiply great in the land. If you submit yourself to me, if you obey me, if you find me, if you seek me, I'll give you some stuff that you can't buy. You'll get to live out all of your days. It will go well with you. I'll take care of where you haven't been yet. And you will multiply great in the land. What does that mean? Be fruitful in the place where I'm calling you. If you submit to me, what you're looking for, I got it. Isn't this simple? No. Because we just hear it and start right back chasing. And it's not that you're not supposed to be ambitious. It's not that you're not supposed to do and be. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. I mean, but to do that apart from me means you'll find yourself rich and meaningless. How are you going to have a lot and have nothing all at the same time? He says, I have set it up this way so that you would fear me, so that you would get to experience my outcomes that money can't buy. He says in verse 16, furthermore, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice, there is wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, there is wickedness. You know what's been hard for me as I've gotten older? Just finding good people. I don't know about you, but I'm like, you really think like that? Like, your brain, who told you that? It's just been hard for me to find good people. And you think that it's righteous and it's okay, and then somehow it turns its back on you. You think that justice would just be a norm for people, but in the place of justice, that's where wickedness stands now. He's given you the reality that the unfairness that you're experiencing, God meant that to be justice. All you got to do is go back to Genesis 1 and 2. He meant that to be paradise, peace, rest, justice, righteousness, holiness. He meant that, but once sin crept in the world, now we're experiencing the way it is. I can't find fairness with the people that love me. I can't find fairness with the people that are supposed to be pushing me to where God is calling me. I can't find fairness at the job. I can't find fairness with my husband or my wife. Because its place has been taken. And guess what? That's the way it is. And so you can see why after reading this, I was like, oh yeah, this is terrible. But he's setting this expectation to set you up. Christians are surprised a lot of times when life turns on them. And Solomon is telling you, don't be surprised. This is the way it is. Well, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. That's true. But all things are not good all the time. And he allows them to be bad. Why? So that you would seek him. Because it's in the badness that illuminates God's goodness. I've said it before, but if everything was good all the time, you wouldn't even know who to give the credit to. It would just be good all the time. But when he allows things to go downhill and you to experience the way it is, then you get to the privilege of experiencing who he is. And he set it up this way so that you would fear him. And then it kind of gets worse. I mean, I can't make up stuff. They asked me to do chapter 3, 10 through 22. He says, for the fate of the sons of men and the fate of beasts is the same. One dies, so dies the other. Indeed, verse 19, they all have the same breath, and there is no advantage for man over beast. All is vanity. Thanks. I'm just like my dog. I mean, he's given you the reality that we all have the same end. And we don't talk about it much. And, you know, my family just experienced that suddenly. And I was sad, obviously. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. I'm next. I mean, it's not like she's experiencing something that's mutually exclusive to her. Solomon's just letting you know, from occupying space to occupying space with eternity set in your heart, which means you can't get fulfillment in the space that you're occupying, to letting you know that there's injustice, there's justice is replaced by wickedness, and righteousness is replaced by wickedness, and you ain't no better than your animal that you feed at the house. And he's just saying that's just the way it is. All is vanity. Y'all looking at me like this is. He gets towards the end and he just kind of reminds us of what we all have in common. That our end is coming. There is no pause button. There is no rewind. That's your DVR. That's not your life. And so he concludes with this, after letting you know that you're occupying space, that the world just turns on its axis, what was will be, and what you do now, next year when somebody asks you what you do, you'll probably say the same thing. That you will experience unfairness constantly. That's the way it is. And then after that, you're going to die. Thanks. And then I like this. He says, look at verse 22. So I conclude, after having said that and fed you a pill of anxiety and depression, I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities. For that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? When winter died, Priscilla called me. And she said, Jonathan, winter died. You know how you try to process? I said, I know. I was there. She said, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I said, what? She said, I'm going to enjoy my life. I thought that's the deepest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know what we have to do? And what you need to do? You need to enjoy your life. You can see all the misery. He's setting up the expectation. This is the way it is. So I'm going to conclude by telling you this. Enjoy your life. You know why? Because it's going to be unfair. You know why? Because you're going to die. You know why? Because right now, yeah, it's just kind of occupying time and all. But God has given you a gift. And that is for you to see it, unwrap it, and enjoy it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm finna enjoy my life. At the Legacy Breakfast, my dad gave 5 P's to the men at the Legacy Breakfast last year. Was it this year? Earlier this year. I forgot the P's. I remember one was pray, one was partner, relationship. I missed the other two, but I remember that last one. You know what he told the men that day at that Legacy Breakfast? He said, play. He said, life is too hard not to enjoy your life. And we got so many Christians who are just miserable because they see what Solomon says is what it is. He's letting you know that this is the expectation. Justice is replaced. Righteousness is replaced. An end is coming. So enjoy yourself. Sometimes we put restrictions on ourselves that aren't even biblical. You just made that up. Didn't nobody say you couldn't have that? Nobody didn't say that you couldn't go there or be with it. Sometimes we just be making up stuff. And you lock yourself down illegitimately, and then you're miserable and complaining when God didn't give you that gift. Where are you miserable? What do you not like? Where do you want to be? How do you get there? You know why? Because you're not going to get to try this again. You're not going to get this second chance here. My dad told me life is like a dollar bill. You get to have it and you get to spend it once, so spend it well. My conclusion is simple. It's Solomon's conclusion. After setting the expectation of what you will experience in your life, find a way to enjoy it. Go play.